Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
Hello, good evening, everybody. We have got Tarona Gale Hawkins, and as you can see from the title, it's going to be an interesting one, Princess Diana's psychic. Gale also talks about Madeleine McCann. Something's come through with McCann, and we're going to get to that later on. Also, wherever you are in the world watching this, whether it's Facebook, YouTube, X, LinkedIn, if you've got any questions for Gale, please put them in the chat, and I shall filter them out and put them to her over the course of this interview. First off, huge thank you for coming on.
You're welcome.
And we've got your channel link at the top of the description box. So if people want to click over to Gale's channel and subscribe, it is right there, and there's lots of other content on her channel. So before we get into these big topics then, such as Princess Diana and McCann, what set you on this path, Gale, to become a futurologist and a psychic?
I was born this way, and I believe this goes back to my bloodline. My family was Irish, and I had everything all checked out. And I'm not going to pronounce this very well, so forgive me, Irish people. But my bloodline goes back to the Shining Ones with the Turidi Dan. I'm sorry, I've not pronounced that properly. And, you know, back to the fairy folk, banshees, lots of things. But, of course, banshees have been given a bad name when really all they was doing was helping people to pass on, which I've done myself in, you know, my life.
So if you have such a genetic inheritance as you have described, how does that manifest? When do you first notice these things? Do things start to happen when you're a child?
Yeah, they start happening in childhood, I think, you know, which you sort of take for granted, really, because it's just normal. But I think the first time I realised that I had this was, I was about maybe 5 or 6, and this sound crackers, but I'd got long hair at the time, and I used to have a ponytail, and I had a vision of a hat with a hole at the back that you put your ponytail through. Well, my mother was a big knitter in those days, as a lot of mums were, and I told her about this dream. I said, I want one of those. Can you knit me one? And she said, don't be stupid. Who's going to knit a hat with a hole in it? Well, strangely, within a year, these hats came into fashion, and if she'd have listened to what I was saying, she could have perhaps been a millionaire. So that was the first time. And then there was other times when I knew if people was ill in the family, and I would say, and then after a while you're told really to shut up, because it's a bit odd to everyone else that, you know, is not that same way.
Have you got a story of that you could tell us, a bit more detail about someone who was ill?
Right. My mother, when I was 7, I mean, she'd always been the same. She'd always had this cough for a while. And I knew that she was going to go into hospital. I didn't know the illness at the time, but I knew that she was. And I remember coming home from school, and my father came downstairs. He said, just go and sit down. He said, we've got the doctor with your mum. And I sat there, and I had visions of a hospital, and I knew I wasn't going to see her for a good while. And she had TB, and in those days, you were sent to a sanitarium. And when my father came down, he says, your mum's got to go into hospital. And I already knew.
So knowing that then, at such a tender age, how do you internalize the trauma that you must have been feeling, the concern, the anxiety, the worry for your mum in that situation?
I just did. I knew it wouldn't be a good few years. And I knew she would come back one day, but I knew there was a lot of problems ahead, because I'd got a sister that was only a few months old, about 3 or 4 months old. And I knew my father couldn't, because he had to work. And, I ended up at my grandmother's, myself and my sister, for a long, long time. But I knew there was something else that was wrong when my father would have me back at weekends. And when nobody'd want to play or come near you, so I'd sit on the front step, and I couldn't understand why other people wouldn't come. But obviously, it was because they were afraid they was going to catch something, which I can understand, because in those days it were fairly deadly. I think the cure had only been out a few years when my mother got TB, so she were very lucky that that she lived, because my grandfather, her father, he died of TB.
Wow. So would you say then that even though you saw your mother was going to go through some challenging times, it was the light at the end of that tunnel that you saw that gave you hope and didn't create too much despair?
It did. But I did have a lot of trauma, because I had to swap schools, meet new people, which I did. And obviously, it's not as good being with you. I don't mean this nastily toward my grandmother, but it's not the same as being within your own family. But it was just part of the course. I think this is how it is for a lot of genuine psychic people. I've heard lots of similar tales, so I'm certainly not on my own. I think it's just lessons that we have to learn.
And why did you have to change school so much?
For the simple reason, I lived in the Midlands in Leicestershire at the time, and where I lived with my mother and father was the other side of the town to where my grandma was. And because my sister was only, like I say, a young baby, we had to move. You know, my father couldn't have looked after us and worked. Things were different in those days, unfortunately. But we got through it. We got through it. I knew she wouldn't die, as strange as that sounds. I knew she would come back. And I think that's what really kept me going.
So as a kid then, how did you make friends, and were you able to maintain those friendships? And did the other kids sense there was something unusual about you?
I think they did. I did make friends, but where lots of people would have many, many friends, I only had one or two. And I was always a little bit different. And I was told by family to shut up when I knew something in advance, when I dreamt something, because my dreams, I had a lot of dreams and visions, and I was told to keep quiet, because if you go back to the 1950s, you know, it was a totally different world, and it wouldn't have been accepted. Although my father had the same gift, but if anyone had have said to him, "You're psychic," it has smacked him in the teeth. It was just a knowing. You know, I think that's the best word for it. It's a knowing, like I've always had a knowing.
I do find dream interpretation fascinating. I've read a lot about Carl Jung. So what kind of dreams did you have that your family warned you about telling other people about?
Well, it's, for example, like that hat. When it came in, of course, and my hair was shorter then, so I was really cross because I wanted this hat. And I said, "I told you, you know, that there would be hats with a hoof to put your ponytail through." And I was told to shut up with that. When I could pick up, other people was ill and they didn't have to live near me. I could pick it up, pick it if there was a long way away. And they found out it was right. So I was told to shut up because obviously that would be dangerous, wouldn't it? That day and age especially.
So what about your relationships with your friends then? For example, if you sensed that something negative was going to happen to them, was it a general rule that you wouldn't tell them because, you know?
No, I would try to warn them, but you have to be very, very careful. I mean, as a child, if I could see there was going to fall off the bike, I'd try to tell them to be a little bit more careful. But then as I grew as an adult, then, you know, if I would pick up certain diseases because I can just pick up the frequency of what the illness is with a person. Don't ask me how I can do it. I don't know. I just can do it. And I'll try to warn them, hopefully to catch them before it happens, but that doesn't always work. Sometimes, if I felt someone had got, say, pains in the stomach, I would try to warn them to be careful. But 9 out of 10 times, by the time I've warned them, they've come back to me and said, "This is already happening." So that's just as it is. That's just the way that it is.
And did any of them come back and thank you for, you know, preventing it from being a really bad disease or preventing really bad illness? And you've kind of changed their fate, really, haven't you? You've intervened and changed their fate.
Absolutely, which sometimes I've questioned, was that the right thing to do? But my nature is I like to help people if I can. And if it saved them from something worse, then why not? But obviously, as I got older, I mean, I'm retired now, but when I was a working psychic, I'm very, very gentle how you do things. And I have done a counselling course and I've got a lot of qualifications in different things. And I think you need to have some skills before you just go out reading for people. That, to me, is very important. But I remember, was a couple, but one, I was in Stratford-on-Avon and I was doing a psychic event. And this gentleman sat down next to me for me to do a reading. And I could sense there was something with his heart. So I looked at his, I used to do palmistry and, you know, read the nails. And I had a look at his nails and I could see he'd got a heart problem coming up. And I thought, "Oh, golly, now how do I do this? I've got to be careful. I don't want to frighten the man." So I sort of skirted round it a little bit, you know, is there any chest problems in your family or anything? And then I just said to him, I said, "Look, I'm not trying to frighten you. I said, you're going to be all right. I said, but please get checked out because you've got markings that I can see, which could mean heart problems." Well, he went away, was fine with that. And then a couple of days later, he rang me. He said, "I want to really thank you." He says, "You were right." He said, "I've been to the doctor." He said, "And they've done checks and I've got angina." So I was pleased that I did tell him. I felt it would be very wrong not to tell him. Then another time with one lady that comes to mind, I could pick up cancer. I could pick up cancer of, you know, around the womb area. And I asked her, when did you last have a test? You know, when did you last go for a test? And she said, oh, not for a long time ago. I said, look, I said, please don't worry, but I'd like you to go. I said, I just feel there's some issue. I knew it was cancer, but I wasn't going to say that. So she went, and I never heard anything from her for about 6 to 9 months. And then she booked in. My husband was alive at the time, and he'd take bookings for me. And she turned up. And she said, I really want to thank you. She said, I did go. And she said, it saved my life because it was caught in time. So I thought, that's okay to tell them, but you tell them carefully, because there's a lot of people that scaremonger. And I used to get a lot of people coming to me where I had to undo the rubbish that other pretend psychics had told them. You know, petrified, like giving out the father's going to die. And I mean, everybody does eventually, but it was how it was done, and it was handled very badly. So if I had my way, I would, it'd be law that every person that wants to work as a psychic, that you do a counselling course and a few other things first as well. And I think that would stop a lot of damage. But people like myself have done a lot of good too. So it's like everything, you know, it's, you've got good and you've got negative.
And I'm just wondering whether there's actually a price for that good, because it seems you're undoing the work of the Grim Reaper. And they say when a person's number is up, the number is up, by getting in the way of the work of the Grim Reaper. Is there any risk to you on the psychic plane from doing that?
Yeah, there is. But the thing was, I was married, my husband, from the age of 39, 40, he came down, my children were very young, came down with the first of 10 heart attacks that he had throughout his life. And, I didn't put that on him. That wasn't me. But I thought, if I can't help somebody to live a bit longer, then that doesn't make me much of a person. So I've done it. I mean, I've done exorcisms and I've done everything in my time. And, you know, it's, you've got good and you've got bad again. I mean, I've been into one hotel, which was comical, which isn't a hotel anymore, but one that I went into, and I took a parapsychologist with me, and he'd done filming. And it was getting a pretty bad name because guests, even foreign guests, was running out in the middle of the night. Now, on this one, kettles would boil that weren't plugged in. That was filmed. There was plugs jumping out of the sockets. It was pretty eerie. But I got to the bottom of it, did get to the bottom of it, and it was from a pilot during the war that had crashed pretty near to this hotel. And I picked him up, and he died in a fire, and his hands had been cut off. And I said to the manager, I really don't understand that. And anyway, a few weeks later, I got a phone call, and he said, I've got two aviation people that want to have a word with. Would you like to have a word? I said, yeah, because I'd love to get to the bottom of why his hands were sliced off. Well, then these couple of guys came and come to my home, and we had a good chat, and they told me what that was for was because of the old fighter planes, that pushing the top off or something was very difficult. Can't remember exactly what they said, but that was how he got his wrist slit, and I got him to move on. It was okay in the end, but it's nice to find the story first of why. I mean, a lot of spirits don't even know that they've died, believe it or not. And not every exorcism that you go in, if you read from the Bible, they'll chuck it in your face. I've had that. And I mean, looking back, it was funny because the parapsychologist, he just ran out screaming and left me to it. But there you go. That's just, you know, wanting to know. I laugh about that now. I won't name him. I won't embarrass him. But it was funny. But I did have some filming done. And that was in a place called Market Harbour. I won't name the hotel now. But anyway, I was asked to see what I could pick up. And as soon as I got to the hotel, and I hate this because I like to just go in blind. I don't want to be anything go in my brain. I know all about that because I'm a qualified hypnotherapist as well. So as soon as I got in, I was told it was some 17th century royalty or something, and I thought, well, that's fair enough, but if I don't expect me to pick that up, because if I don't pick it up, I'm not going to do it just because you want me to for publicity for the hotel. So I went round the hotel. There was the first thing that I picked up, which proves there's a class system with ghost. I picked up a young man who was very unhappy, who had committed suicide in this hotel. Now, I didn't know where I was going, as I used to have a lot of reporters set me up with things, and I'd go along and do the investigations. And he was coming through, so I mentioned to the manager, I explained, I said, do you know this? And I was told straight away, you can shut up. That can't be on film, because apparently it was a member of staff that had happened, say, 10 or 15 years prior. And I thought, no, you're so keen for me to pick up your, 16th, 17th century ghost, which would be good for publicity. But this poor chap that had been unhappy and committed suicide, he could sod off, basically. So I wasn't happy about that, but I continued through the hotel, and I got a bit complacent, which was my fault. And I went into what they called the cellar bar, and it was all being filmed, and I was about halfway through when I had a vision of, I went right back in time to where the men were wearing smocks, and I could see a woman had been hung, and there were two men. So I could see that. And then the next thing, I felt the biggest pair of hands go on my throat, and I stopped. And afterwards, after it had done, and it was filmed, you could see all like red marks on my neck, and the guy and his wife that was filming it said, oh my god, we could feel something there. And I said, well, that was my fault, because I'd got complacent and I shouldn't. And after that, the sinister thing, this is why I won't name the place, the sinister thing, a few years later, they turned the cellar bar into more hotel rooms. And that ghost was still there. I didn't do an exorcism there. And I often thought, oh, if there was somebody with little children or a baby that was in that room, God, I hope it doesn't attack them. But maybe it did. But I think it's closed now. So that's a good thing.
Let me just say to the chat real quick, because we've got almost 800 people watching right now across all platforms. I have been starring your questions, and I am going to put them to Gail. We're just doing the background story as to how, what Gail went through as a young person and what led to this. My next question then is, when it comes to exorcisms, is there a specific method, or do you just, when you get there on the day, do you just act accordingly as to what the surroundings are telling you?
Right. I learnt from the one exorcism I told you where I went in with the Bible and quoted certain passages and it was flung up in the air. And that's, I won't go all into that. It was really eerie, really eerie. So I thought, right, I've got to change my tactics so that you don't give them any idea, you know, if they're nasty, which I want to say there's a lot of nasty stuff around now. And I do see it on certain people, I want to add, but that's another story. So to go back to that question, I was called in, I won't say where, by social services because this battered wives' home was haunted and it was scaring the children to death and one had run out. It very, very sinister. Mops would be thrown in the air, etc. So I went in, I went through all the rooms and I just sat and picked up the frequency of this ghost and I spoke with it and took my time and then went through a method of it's time that you went, you've got family over the other side or you've got an animal, you know, you have to go through everything because some people, if they haven't got any family, you know, an animal or something that was their favorite. And then I would say, I'm going to wait with you and someone from the other side is going to come over and go with them. And that technique worked, you know, 9 out of 10 times. So, yeah.
That's fascinating. So a lot of people then are asking how Princess Diana came on your radar.
Right. Well, that started, I won't mention the name because it's not fair, but one of my relatives was in a West End play. And because she was a little girl at the time, Princess Diana came to shake hands with all the cast. I mean, I've got photos of this, actually. That was the first connection. Then after that, I was doing a lot of shows in London, maybe some of the first psychic events that was going. And I came into contact with her again. And then I was asked to see her. I won't say where, but it was in a posh area of London at the back of a shop. And I did a reading for her there. I also picked up, I warned her about having a photo taken in a gym. I could see a photographer trying to get, you know, distasteful photos of her while she was in the gym. And I warned her about that. And that did come to pass in the 1990s. That did. So after that, It'd mainly be telephone readings after that. And I'm not being sarcastic with this, but as a lot of people of higher status, they don't always, I'm not saying it's deliberate, but they don't always think you've got a family life and the phone could ring any hours of the morning, etc. But that's initially how it all came to pass.
So when you came to meet such a famous woman then, was she down to earth? What was her energy like? What was her spirit like?
I thought it was lovely. I really thought it was lovely. I felt with her, and I can say this because and I'm not trying to plug this book because it's going to have more add-ons to it. Because I had the spirit of Marilyn Monroe with me for about 18 months. That's another long story. But Marilyn had got this certain energy and Princess Diana had got a very similar energy as well. And she could be very sad. With some of the readings as it went on, she could also be a bit naughty, a bit manipulative with certain things. I don't want to give the readings away because I've always been so confidential with people, even though they've passed on, I'm not going to betray them. And I warned where I could with certain things. She knew that Charles didn't love her. And she did, one thing I will say, she did say that the Queen Mother pushed him into marrying her because they wanted a virgin. And, you know, I can't argue with that. I can only tell you, you know, what I was told. But as time went on, she had a lot of affairs and things herself as well. I'm not condemning her. It's got to be awful being in a marriage when you know that the person doesn't love you. And, you know, that's all I can really say with that. But she was nice. She'd got nice energy. Changed a little bit towards the end, I will say that. But I have found that with a lot of people, energy changes not far before they pass over.
Which leads to several questions that have come in. You've had dozens of questions come in, and several of them are centered around her prediction of her own death and whether she was herself psychic and knew it was coming. What did you pick up on any of that?
I'd say that she was psychic because she could pick up on things. She could. And she was very sensitive. And she had been back to me in spirit since she'd passed over, though. But, I mean, that's another story. So yeah, I would say so. Plus, of course, there was other people that was giving her false information, you know, scaring her as well. And she wasn't wrong that she was going to pass over in a car, but it doesn't mean it was planned.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Wow, this is heavy, isn't it?
It's heavy stuff. I always seem to, I think I was put here for all the heavy stuff. I swear I was.
So did she indicate to you or ask you about her fate?
I would never have said that. I would. Well, the point was, let me just jump a little bit further. The point was, I dreamt about what happened to her. But a good 6 or 7 months prior, my husband got really sick again, and I couldn't take her reading to do anything because I was too busy visiting hospitals, you know, looking after my kids and everything else. I had time for nothing, so I wasn't around for that time. And I think towards the end, I don't know if she would have listened anyway, but I don't think she needed to because she already knew that she was going to die in a car crash.
Question from Kaza then. How many readings did you do for Deanna, and how long did you know her for?
Oh, my goodness. From about, just let me have a look, when from about 1992 up to 6 months before she died. And I just want to say another thing. Where the link between, I feel, her and Marilyn Monroe, they were both the same age when they died as well. You know, just going to have a little drink of water if you don't mind.
Yeah, go for it. I'll read the next question. So Terence wants to know if you ever were able to ascertain anything about Princess Diana's past lives?
I have, because I can pick that up. I mean, when I was working as a qualified hypnotherapist, I can do that with hypnotherapy. Even though I'm retired, I'm not lost my talent for that. But I can actually pick up by looking at a person, etc. I can tune in. It's only a frequency. It's not that special to me. It's just a frequency. So, yes. In a past life with Diana, she'd just been an ordinary person. You see, this is the thing. People think because you've been a princess in one life, you perhaps have been in lots of other lifetimes, but not necessarily. But I only went back to one life with her.
So I know you've touched on this before, but Emma is putting it more direct to you. With Princess Diana, do you think she was killed on purpose?
Initially, I did. Initially. But after she'd come back to me in spirit, since she'd passed over, it wasn't. It was an accident. I can't remember the car. I can't remember from my dream, but there was a car there. But when there was going in the tunnel, I don't get that the chauffeur was drunk, though. I do not get that. I don't feel that he was. But I could see, sorry, my voice is a bit croaky, but I could see him clip a car. And I think that's what sent him off track. And then from there, and at the speed that was going at, but Dodie was telling him to put his foot down. So that didn't help either, did it? So no, I don't think she was murdered. As I say, I did initially, but after coming back and the different things she's told me since she came back, no, I just think it was a very bad accident. I think what made us all suspicious was the premonition that she had that she was going to die.
Indeed, that's what made me suspicious, because in the book, Princess Diana, in her own words, she says it's going to be Charles behind it, and they're going to make it look like a car crash. I mean, would you put that down just to synchronicity, to chance that she...
Yeah, I honestly do, because believe you me, if I'm sure he wouldn't, but if any of them wanted to bump you off, so to speak, they could find another way, not make it as glamorous in Paris. And no, that's she was just psyching in on her own death, and she knew it had been a car accident.
All right, so we've got a few people asking whether Diana was pregnant.
Right. I don't think she was. And the reason I don't think she was is because a lot of people won't like this, and this is why I've not sort of brought this out really before. And that was because she wouldn't have married Dodie. She wouldn't have married him. He did propose to her, but she refused because she'd not been divorced very long. And I think she wanted, you know, to have a free hand. But that was all the press again, you know, photos everywhere, etc. And I think Dodie's dad was at the back of it, trying to get his son married off to her, because he'd got his own gripes with the establishment and, you know, the royal family, or one or two of the members. I'm not saying that he was behind the car crashing. I'm not saying that. But he just wanted Dodie to marry Diana, because that would have been more prestige for him, I suppose. You know, I'm not going to blame the guy for that. you know, he'd have been proud of his, if that had happened with the son. And had Diana have lived and married him, it wouldn't have lashed. She wouldn't have gone there. It was a good mate, a good friend. But it doesn't mean you want to marry someone just because you date them, does it?
No. Next question. Is there a curse on the title Princess of Wales?
That is highly possible, because I've dealt in a lot of family curses, you know, which is pretty rough, really, that we can go back X amount of generations and somebody that did something wrong, that's, you know, the curse that goes on to the next member, et cetera, et cetera. I think so, but the same as there was with the Kennedys.
This is from Juanita. Do you still have contact with her spirit? And does she know about her children?
She's not been through for a year or two, but she does know about the children, because on one of her, the first, second visits, again, it's a date because it's so many years ago, she came through and she told me she was worried about her boys because they were taking drugs. And this was so incredible. And I thought, to prove this, there was a lady reporter that I knew, and I rang her and I said, I explained exactly what I'd got through. I said, please just document that, so you know I've said it. Well, within about a month, it came out about the drugs, and it was only young. It was only very young, you know, young teenagers, I think, at the time. But yes, she came through with that. I mean, she's the one that told me she wouldn't have married Dodie, even though he did propose. She's been through with a few things, but I've not seen her two or three years, you know. So hopefully she's now moved on and doesn't need to have any more connection with this you know, this earth, this reality. I mean, also, just let me say this. After she died, and we could get the tickets to go and visit her house and where she was buried. I got tickets. My husband took me over, went over, and I went and sat on a bench overlooking the island, and I did my best to tune in. I couldn't get anything. And I was writing for a Mirror Group newspaper at the time, you know, just once a week, I'd just do like a paranormal or health article. And I remember writing a piece about this, that I just didn't feel she was there. I felt she's in the family vaults or, you know, or their cemetery, whatever. And many weeks later, I had a gentleman who I'd never seen before came to me for a reading. And after the reading, he said, I just want to tell you, he says, you're right. I read the article and you are right. He said, a friend of mine works there and she isn't on the island. And he says, you're right with that. And then he left, and I thought, well, that was a bit of backup. So that's all I can say to you. I cannot feel her on that island.
So you're being asked now as to whether Prince Harry will lose his royal title at some point in the future.
I have no idea, because I am sick and tired of hearing about Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. They're in America. America can keep them. Just get on with it. I don't know, and I really don't care. I don't think it'll be too many years in the future before royalty's gone here, actually.
Does Charles really have cancer?
Now, that's a very, very good point. Now, I can't turn around and say he definitely hasn't, but that's a question I've asked myself. There's something that just isn't right, but whether it's I'm not picking up the cancer, I don't know. But I, so to be very honest, and I am honest, I don't really know, but I do feel that something is, something's off. Something's just not right with a few of the royals at the moment.
Question from Emma. Wanting to know, do you think Maddie McCann's parents were involved in the disappearance in some way, as they have never truly looked that upset when they were being interviewed, etc.?
Right. Now, you tell me when you want me to go into the Maddie McCann stuff. I am not going to accuse anybody. I'm not, I haven't got the right to do that, but I can tell you all what Maddie came to me in a dream, and Maddie came to me last night, and there's been a lot of activity, psychic activity in my home. Well, there always is. There's always somebody coming through. So, but do you want me to start talking about Maddie?
Yes,
now?
Please. Yes.
Okay, that's fine. Right. Well, let me start at the beginning. After Madeline had been reported missing, because I was living in Leicestershire at the time, and they was from Leicestershire. They were from a village not too far away from where I lived. And one night I had a dream, really, really strange dream. Now, Madeline came to me, and she was dressed odd. She didn't speak, but let me explain. She stood in front of me. She was wearing like a square neck top dress in a navy, too old for a little girl. It had got like 3/4 sleeves, and it went right down to her feet, like a long dress, but very, very odd. And this really puzzled me. And she stood in the middle of two trees that came down like this. And I could see to the right-hand side of her, I couldn't see it, but I could feel it. There was a little churchyard, graves. I was seeing that. And then I woke up, and it really disturbed me. And I said to my husband the next morning, I said, I wish you could have told me where this was. I said, it's just odd. And he said, well, maybe it's because she's a little girl and weren't able to put it into words. Now, when I explain about last night, this might make a bit of sense. So that was that. Now, I did there was a site that you could let the police know or whatever, and I'd had this dream that it was a psychic lady. I didn't care if they thought it was crackers, because you get used to that anyway. And I said, if I get any more, I will come back to you. Well, I didn't, and it haunted me for years. Until about 2 years ago, and I was thinking about it again, and I thought, that strange dress could have been a man's T-shirt, because square neck, the sleeves would have been short for a guy, and it would have come down to a feet. And I thought, yeah, that's a T-shirt. She's wearing a man's T-shirt. So that was that. And I've never really tuned in to the McCanns. You know, I mean, I'm not going to judge. That's not my job. However, last night, I did explain to you that I'm absolutely useless with computers, and with us changing the link, I'm really stressed out. My son came, he helped me with put it on sleep overnight until now, because I was panicking in case it didn't come up. So I am useless with these, I'll be honest. So, but you younger people, you sort of brought up more with them, so it's just natural. Even my seven-year-old granddaughter can work them better than me. But anyway, so After the stress was done and my son went, and I thought, I'm going to have a cup of tea now and I'm going to put the telly on and I'm just going to not think about a computer. Well, about 10 minutes later, I got Madeleine McCann standing in front of me, but she looked slightly older. And it's really peculiar because she stuck out her tongue and on there was two tiny white pills. That's what she was showing me. So I thought, you've been poisoned. You know, what's happened here? And then, so after that, so I'm thinking on that. And then the next thing, I get a vision of being a man. I could just see the back of a man, and he were like tickling her, you know, and I could hear like a giggling and tickling her. But after a while, I felt that was really inappropriate. I thought, I don't like that. That's creepy. So I've thought back, and today I've thought it all out, and I've thought, okay, she was showing me, I've not been to Portugal, okay, I've not been, to see what else I could suss out there. But anyway, I went back to the way she was standing with those trees. Could that be representing her heart? You know, is that what she was trying to tell me? Something connected with her heart, or anything with the family that's with hearts? I've got to be very careful what I say here, because I could be interpreting that wrong. But last night, that was so distinctive, showing me those pills on her tongue. And she wanted me to know that she'd swallowed those. But I still couldn't get her to actually talk to me. It's as if, it's as if either a binding ritual, because there's some evil so-and-sos out there, have done something so she can't talk. And it's like she's showing me all these things, and I'm trying to, you know, piece them all together. And I've been doing my best to do that. And I mean, because when I say I'm interested in crime, I've always had an interest, because I was an odd child. If I was given money for sweets, I would buy one of the American gangster books, or, you know, the murder and things like that. And I have taken a couple of online criminology courses, not to be a criminologist, just because of the interest. So I'm trying to put all the pieces with it. But since last night, she showed me those pills. So she's had, something was taken that I believe that killed her. Please don't ask me what the tablets are. I've no idea. I'm not the medic in the family. But
yeah, so the viewers are all over this. They're relating the pills to the parents because the parents were doctors. Are you leaning towards an outsider or parental involvement?
It could be. Let me tell you what else I've got before I answer that question. I was also getting, it's not going to be that far, not that many years in the future before the truth comes out. And one of the group is, I don't know if they know already, or there's going to be a really serious illness. And because this person will be facing death, then whether they're going to confess what they know, whether it was them or what exactly they knew. And also, yes, this is important. I'm so sorry, it's trying to remember it all. I also got as well that she didn't go missing on that day. She didn't die on that day. She died before. And this is stuff that's come through over this last couple of weeks. That's why it was more than a coincidence, Sean, when you swapped the link over, and you know that's true. I didn't know I'd be talking to you. And you know, when you said Maddie McCann, I thought, oh, this is now starting to make sense. So something's going to come out. I'm not going to accuse the parents because the doctors, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say there was involved or they wasn't involved. All I can tell you is factually what I saw and what Maddie's given to me. But there was something with those two pills. I have no idea what they were, that I feel either ended a life or whether they made her dizzy or she had a reaction and she fell and hit her head. I mean, there's lots of scenarios we could go through, but it had something to do with those two pills, which I've no idea what they are.
Yeah, and there's a lot of specific questions coming in on this case, and I think you've answered a lot of them, or you've said you can't provide further information. I mean, from what you're saying then, you've concluded that she is dead, because we did have the news story, you know, about the Polish woman who came forward.
I'm not saying the Polish woman did that in a nasty way. Maybe she thought she was. I think we've got to have a little bit more kindness in this world and you know, not blame her for doing that. She honestly perhaps thought she was. But I knew straight away she wasn't. I knew she wasn't. So my feelings, and I can honestly say this and on heart, I hope I'm wrong. I hope that Maddie is alive. But why is she coming through to me? Why am I getting, why did she come and show me the pills? Why did she show me in that old fashioned, which I called a dress, which I now believe is a T-shirt? Because I thought, is she been buried in one of the graves in that churchyard with another body? But something will come out, and as one of them get ill and they will start to worry, that it's like I'm picking up a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry around one of them in the crowd. Because as we all know, it wasn't, the only thing I'm going to say against them is leaving the child there and saying it was no different to sitting in your back garden is rubbish. Because if I was going to sit in the back garden when my children was young, I would have locked the front door. So at least, you know, somebody can't come in that way. So there's a few things that's off. But I'm only going to give you what I've been shown. I do have some ideas, but I'm not going to do that to try and make myself look clever. That would be wrong. I've no need to do that. There's nothing in this for me. I'm not trying to get money or publicity or anything in that way. Like I say, I am a retired psychic. My channel is just to try to help people with a few psychic things that they might be interested in. I did do one about family curses, actually, and sort of telling them what they can do about that. I hope I'm wrong. Maddie's alive, but I don't think she is, because that would not explain why she keeps coming back to me.
So we've got a question from Kaza that ties into the theory of the pills then. And the question is, do you believe, you know, she was overdosed on a sedative, they gave her too much and she died, and because they had friends in high places, it was made to look like an abduction?
I feel that's highly possible. Since Maddie showed me those pills on her tongue last night, no child would just stick a tongue out with two pills. I'd have to be an idiot to not take that as a sign that she was poisoned, or whether it was deliberate or an accident. She did have some medication, and I've got to stick by what she's shown me, because it's not that easy for them to just come through. You know, my respect goes to the little girl. So that's involved with it, yeah.
So we've got 5 minutes left before the next guest comes in. There's tons of questions coming for you, Gail. So perhaps we'll have to get you on in the future, yeah, if you're available to go for all these questions. But I'll just put a few of them to you. Mm-hmm. One person has asked how they contact you to get a reading. Now, we do have the link to your YouTube channel at the description box. This is from Nicola. How do I get in touch for a private reading, please?
I don't do them. I've retired. You know, I've done my best to help people with, like, if there's something that she wanted to know that were connected with a dream, I'll do a YouTube and I'll explain things for her that way. But I don't do this. It's like my little YouTube channel. It's not monetized. I'm not after money or anything like that. It's a little bit of a hobby, because a lot of people have asked me, because I did teach in a college many years ago. I used to do a night class on all psychic stuff, and I was the only one, I'm very proud of this, the only one in the college. I was the only class left at the end, because people go to evening classes, drop out. And I had such a list of people that wanted to come into my class, and there were no vacancies because everybody stuck it till the end. So if they've got anything they want to ask me, or if there's a subject they want me to have a look at, you know, please do, because that gives me ideas for YouTube, and I'll help in any way that I can there.
Well, we've got a question come in. I don't know if you can answer this remotely, or you'd have to be, you know, present with the person. But DMR has said, I would like to know if my late father is with me during all the health stuff I am going through, helping me push on, if I may ask, Ms. Gail.
Oh, bless him. I'm sure that your father and other relatives will be with you. Ask if they're there, and just sit and listen and see what you feel. And because if your father is there, you will feel him, you know, come back to you, and keep positive.
Question from Terence: do people have spirit guardians?
Right. Now, at one time we had what we called spirit guides, but they're not with us. We have helpers, but we do not have a spirit guide that comes down that says to, well, I can only speak for me, it says to me, tell this person this, that, and the other, because it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. A very quick thing, if I could say to you, I'll give you a little example. I was doing a reading for a young lady many years ago, and she sat in front of me, and I was getting John Lennon singing Give Peace a Chance in my crystal ball. And I thought, this is crazy. And I looked at the girl. I thought, I can't say this, or she's going to walk out. She'll think I'm a loony. So I skirted round. I said, oh, have you got any relatives in Liverpool or any connection with Liverpool? No, no, no. So to cut a long story short, because they were getting louder and louder singing this, I said, right. I said, you're going to walk out in a minute. I said, but I have got to tell you what I've got. I said, I've got John Lennon singing Give Peace a Chance. Instead of walking out, she started crying. I thought, oh my goodness, what connection has she got with him? And then she said, thank you so much. She said, my mum died. She was a big John Lennon fan. She said, my father's met another woman, and I have never given them any peace, because I didn't want him to move on from my mum. She said, wow. Now that's come through. She said, things had changed. So that were good. So that helped the family. So they work in strange ways, but you don't have a man or a woman standing telling you this or that or the other. I'm very suspicious of people that do that. I'm sorry, they're going to hate me, but I'm just honest.
Oh, thanks, Gail. Thanks for coming on. Just tell people the name of your YouTube channel as well, for people on other platforms.
Okay, it is Tarona Gail Hawkins. I've not started it very long. I do my best. Hopefully I'll get better at it, as I go on in time. But if you click the link and have a look, and please send me messages if there's anything that you want me to cover, because I'm really happy to do that for you. So, you know, that's great.
Thank you very much for spending time with us this evening, and you have a great rest of your day. Cheers, Gail.
And you. Bless you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. So the link to Gail's YouTube channel is in the description box below this video. This is part one of Atwood Unleashed 137. We're going to go over to part two now with Ed Dutton, who is going to be talking about how woke extremists are genetically mutated people. So stay tuned for that. I'm going to end the stream and it will redirect you over to the video with Ed. And huge thank you for all of your questions. And we had a lot of fun with Gail, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun with Ed right now as well. So hope to see some of you in the chat shortly. Cheerio.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.